Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John 15. While you are turning there, 2 Corinthians 5:10 says that there will be a day when we have an evaluation of our lives. And this, of course, refers to the Bema Seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. And the evaluation will be on the basis of what was done in our bodies here on earth. Now, there are those believers who don't like to think about that. There are believers who even deny that's even going to happen. But there are those who don't like to think about it, and then there are those who look forward to it. Now, one of the reasons I think that people don't want to think about it, they push it aside in their minds, is because they don't have any confidence as to what's going to happen. Perhaps they say, I haven't been what I should be, and I know this, and I never made the adjustments by faith that would be required for me to have a good Bema Seat experience, or at least to expect a good Bema Seat experience. But I didn't want to make those adjustments, and so I simply put it out of mind. This is very dangerous, because it's not something any born-again believer will avoid. It is, if you are saved, in your future, where God will evaluate your life. The choices that you make now are the foundation of that evaluation. But it's not just any choice, because John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus said that the words that I speak, they will judge you. The word of God is going to be the one you are evaluated by. And how you lined up with, how you used that word of God, is going to determine the condition of your eternity, not saved or unsaved, that's already been established. But there are people who will be ashamed at the Bema Seat. And this is their choice. They will be ashamed at the Bema Seat. And there are those people who will not be ashamed at the Bema Seat. And this likewise is their choice. They will not be ashamed at the Bema Seat. 1 John 4:17 says that as He is, so are we in this present world, and therefore, as a result of that, we have confidence. We have confidence in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this present world. This is a process, of course. But John is talking about something more than a process. John is talking about an identity. His identity is, as he is, so am I in this present world. Our identity must be the same. As he is, so am I in this present world. Now, the identity makes a huge difference, because many of our decisions are based in our identity. We think of them as being volitional, and indeed they are, but volition has something behind it. And if I have the right identity, then certainly my volition will reflect this. If I have the wrong identity, certainly my volition will reflect this. My decisions, and therefore my actions, my words, all the things that are of volition will reflect this. I need that identity to be correct. Often as believers, we say to ourselves, my identity is that I'm the beloved of God, and that's wonderful. I'm glad that you see yourself as the beloved of God. That's very good. My identity is that I'm accepted by Christ. Wonderful. I'm glad this is part of your identity. That's very good. But it's not actually an identity. Who are you? Well, I'm the Beloved. That's what are you? Who are you? Who are you? And this becomes a little more of a challenge to people. Sometimes people say, well, I am accepted in Christ. That's who I am. I am a Christian. That's who I am. All right, fine. What does that mean? And when we get down to the nitty-gritty of it, it all starts to break down for some people. Because there's this fundamental lack of understanding what's behind things. Some people can't tell you who they are. They can only tell you what they are, but not who they are. In verse 1 of John 15, Jesus begins a discourse in which he identifies us, in which he tells us who we are. He says in verse 1, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. I am the grapevine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. So this means that everything about our lives is dictated by the Father, is established by the Father, is preordained by the Father, is determined by the will of the Father. My Father is the vineyard keeper. So indeed, in 2 Corinthians 5:18, all things are from God, our Father. He is the vineyard keeper. Indeed, in 2 Corinthians 4:15, all things are for our sake, because all things come from our Father. Now, people don't want to accept that, although they will acknowledge it. But when the circumstances are not favorable to them, or the circumstances are challenging to them, then they will not say, oh, this is of God for my benefit. They will say, no, no, this is not a good circumstance, and therein is a problem. The circumstance becomes important in their eyes in its negativity and not important in its purpose from the Father. All things are indeed for my sake, in 2 Corinthians 4:15. In Romans 8:28, all things work together for good, but in verse 29 it does tell us what that good is, and that is to conform us to the image of His Son. To conform us to the image of the 1 John 4:16 love of God, that is His Son, He is love. So my Father, the vineyard keeper, Jesus says, is the one who takes care of all of this. He is the one who plants the vine. He is the one who nourishes the vine. He is the one who cares for the vine. He is the one who makes that vine grow into all that it is meant to be. Then he continues in verse 2. Every branch in me not bearing fruit, he takes it away. That doesn't mean take away. In the original language, it really means He lifts it up. He puts it into a position where it will be exposed to the sun. So let's say you have a born-again believer who is not fruit-bearing. God will place them into a position where they will have exposure to His sun. They need that exposure to His sun because His sun is the vine. And if they are not bearing fruit, that means that their exposure to His Son, the relationship that He has with that Son, is limited. And so He is not bearing fruit, so He lifts it up, He gives it exposure to His Son. And every branch bearing fruit, He prunes clean, so that it will be bearing more fruit. You are already pruned clean because of the word which I have spoken to you, the same word which will judge me at the Bema seat. In John 1:14, He is His word. When He gives me the word of God, He gives me Himself. God is looking for fruit. And everything He does with us is to produce fruit. And that fruit, of course, in Galatians 5:22 and 23, is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. There is a production to fruit. There is a process to that production. In Romans 5:3-5, this is how fruit is produced. Paul says there that he glories in his tribulations. I don't know too many people who glory in their tribulations. Paul was one that did. Most people try to avoid their tribulations. They try to run away from their tribulations. Paul said, I glory in my tribulations. You have a difficult circumstance? Paul says, I glory in it. Most believers, they have a difficult circumstance and they try to change their circumstance. But this is not wise. Because tribulation works the first manifestation of God's character, God's love in us. Patience in 1 Corinthians 13:4. Whether it is hupomone as it is here or macrothumia as it is in 1 Corinthians 13:4, it's still patience, only the target is different. The characteristic, the nature is the same. And so He produces through circumstances, through challenging trials, through difficult things, through things that we feel are very unpleasant to us and we don't want them in our lives, God says, this is my fruit process. Tribulation will then produce experience, which is priceless. When you see God come through for you, and then you see Him come through for you again. When you see God be faithful to you, and then you see Him be faithful to you again. When you see God answer prayer, and then you see Him answer it again. When you see God love you, and then you see Him love you again. And again, and again. This is experience, and it produces in you a confident expectation that the Bible calls hope. But it's really confident expectation. And this is how the love of God is produced in our heart. This is how fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is love. This is how fruit is produced in us, through this process. Sometimes we can get it to a place where we fight God's process. We're oriented naturally, we're oriented to ourselves, and we fight the process of fruit production. Sometimes people want to change the situation that God has selected for them by which they will produce fruit. Sometimes they resist the situation. Sometimes they try to run away from the situation because they're oriented to the negativity of the situation rather than the purpose of God for that situation. You must always be oriented to the purpose of God for every situation, because all things, without exception, that word all in the original language means each and every. In other words, all. All things are from God. All things are for your sake, and all things are there to conform you to the image of His Son. You run out of a situation, you resist it, what have you. Let's say that you successfully escape a circumstance that God is using to produce fruit in your life. You haven't escaped anything. Because there's no place that you can hide from God. It's His process. It's not your circumstance. It's His process. And unless you are oriented in this manner, then you are disoriented to reality. and that carries its own chastisement. If you successfully escape from your circumstance, then God will bring another circumstance. Because God will not quit on you to make you into a fruitful branch. In Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him. This is Romans 8:29. It's when truth, the Word of God in John 17:17, is proclaimed in the nature, the character of God. Who is the head? Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. For the edifying of itself in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, you could paraphrase it. Building up one another by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is one of the most important purposes for fruit being produced in our lives, that we may be built up in ourselves, yes, first, in 1 John 4:19, absolutely, but not just in ourselves, but so that it will spill out of us, so that the fruit will come off the branches and benefit those who walk by. Building up one another by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In John 15:4, Jesus continues, "Abide in me, and I in you. Just as the branch is not able to be bearing fruit by itself, unless it shall be abiding in the vine, so neither you, unless you shall be abiding in me." The branches need the Word of God, because that is the nourishment of the vine. Sometimes people resent when you tell them that. They enter into problems, and you try to bring in the Word of God, and they resent you for it because they're so disoriented to truth, and that's usually because they're oriented, in most cases, to the way the problems make them feel. But regardless of the reason, it can be other reasons also. You need the nourishment of the vine. Without that, you don't have a chance. You need the nourishment of the vine, because He is the vine, we are branches. And just as the branch is not able to bear fruit in itself unless it remains, abides, unless it has a working relationship with the vine, neither are you unless you are abiding in me, unless you have a working relationship with me, a living, working, vibrant, kinetic relationship with Christ Himself. And that comes through His Word. He is the Word. When you have a relationship with the Word of God, you have a relationship with Christ. He is the Word. Sometimes things go wrong in people's lives, and they say, when you try to bring in an encouraging thought from the Word of God, they don't want to hear the Word of God. Sometimes you have to wait for capacity because capacity is not there. In other cases, they are reacting in negativity, ultimately against God, and they don't want to hear what He has to say. But again, regardless, the ultimate solution is His Word, because this is where the branch gets its life. This is where the branch gets its sustenance. This is the source for the branch for all things. This is what God offers us. Not bearing fruit is an experiential result, not a positional one. Not bearing fruit does not mean you lose your salvation. You do lose your experience, though. Fruit bearing is experiential, not positional. It doesn't bring you salvation, it brings you the experience of a relationship with Christ. And so we look for this experience because we desire a relationship with Christ in a practical, experiential manner. Where we get into problems, both emotionally and sometimes psychologically, is when we do not abide in Him. Because if I don't abide in Him, what source, what ability do I have? What fruit can I produce if I don't abide in Him? Every branch will bear fruit, but what fruit is it bearing? Is it good fruit or is it negative fruit? Well, Galatians 5:19-21 tells us what the negative fruit is. And indeed, this is what those who do not abide in Him often produce. We have to abide in the vine. We have to abide in the vine. Don't you understand? If you are a Christian, if you are a born-again believer, number one, your life doesn't belong to you, it belongs to God. Number two, all things in your life are from God for your benefit to conform you to the image of His Son. His purpose overrides anything about us, anything about our lives. But yet, in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. So this is not a difficult thing that He asks us for. This is a place where joy is found, and indeed, the second thing that is listed is the fruit of the Holy Spirit is joy. So it's not like He says, abide in the vine and you're going to be miserable, so grin and bear it. No, you're miserable, you need the vine so that you can have joy. You feel unloved, you need the vine so you can have love. You have trouble with self-control. You need the vine so you can have self-control. You have no peace in your life. You need the vine so you can have peace in your life. All the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I'm an impatient person, so you need the vine so that you can have patience. All the fruit of the Holy Spirit. They all come from abiding in the vine, this working relationship with the Savior by means of His Word. And I can have it or I cannot have it, and if I don't have it, I'm going to have all kinds of problems emotionally, psychologically, and often otherwise as well. And when I do have it, I don't have nearly those kinds of problems. My emotions are stable, my psychology is stable, my thought life is stable. I have joy even in the most challenging of circumstances. I can glory in my tribulation. Why? Because I have fruit. In verse 5 of John 15, Jesus continues, I am the vine. You are the branches. I am the vine. You are the branches. Please remember this. Please assimilate this into your thinking. You are a branch of the vine. The one abiding in me and I in him, this one bears much fruit. In verse 9, abiding in him means abiding in his love. In verse 7, him abiding in us means the word of God abiding in us. The one who keeps himself in the love of God and keeps the Word of God in his frame of reference, this is the one who has love. This is the one who has joy. This is the one who has meekness and gentleness and patience and temperance and all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is the one who gets to enjoy an experiential life with God. Because, he says, apart from me, you're not able to do anything. Well, I can find happiness apart from Christ. No, you can't. Fleeting at best. Situational at best. But no, you can't. Well, I can find joy apart from Christ. No, you really can't. Fleeting or situational at best. But nothing of any substance, nothing of any longevity. Know who you are. Who are you? You are a branch of the vine. If you have trouble with your identity, if you have trouble with your self-image, then this is something that is lacking in your life. You do not either know or you do not believe that you are a branch of the vine. This is who you are. Jesus, the second person of the triune God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who made you, says you are a branch of the vine. That's who you are. The vine and the branches together make up the tree of life. Our life is from Him. In Galatians 2:20, we've been crucified with Him where? On a tree. In Ephesians 2:15 and 16, we've become one with Him where? On a tree. That's the tree of life. The cross is the tree of life. The vine and the branches, our life being derived from His life, is the tree of life. That is the cross. It's not my life derived from positive circumstances, my life derived from positive people, my life derived by getting what I want. None of that stuff amounts to anything, not only in eternity, not even in time. One of the things that always amazes me is how many of these very wealthy celebrities are sniffing this white powder or getting drunk on a $12 bottle of booze. Because they're trying to enjoy something, hide something, sublimate in some way, deal with something, get some kind of pleasure, I suppose, in their life, and it is completely worthless and destructive, and yet they have everything they could possibly ask for. And it doesn't satisfy. They can choose any house in any country, in the entire world, they have the money to buy it. They have all kinds of influence sometimes. They have all kinds of adulation, and yet they are empty. Why is that? Because those things do not produce fruit. And many of them look for fruit in those things. They don't realize, they don't call it fruit, but they'll call it things like pleasure or joy or happiness. But those cannot be found in the external. Those are found in the life of the vine. And only in the life of the vine. Things like being loved by God or accepted by Him are what you are. They are not who you are. There's a huge difference. You are the branches of the vine. The cross is how you become that branch. That is your union with Christ, with the vine in Ephesians 2:16. In Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need. The word supply is plero, and it means fulfill or perform fully. All your need. My God shall supply all your need. Your wife, your husband, your children, your parents will not supply all your need. Your employer will not supply all your need. Hard work will not even supply all your need. Lots of money will not supply all your need. My God will supply all your need. Who you are will determine your need. The fact that I am a branch of the vine means that I have very distinct and unique needs, and they are indeed needs. But people try to enter what they are without entering who they are, and so they never deal with the need of who they are, and they wonder why they don't experience what they are. Because what they are is the fruit, it is not the identity, it is not the source, it's the fruit. Love is fruit, you're beloved by God, that is fruit. Acceptance from God, that is fruit. But how do you experience that? By keeping your life in the vine. By keeping yourself in the love of God, and this is how I keep my life in the vine. I keep myself in the love of God, and I keep the Word of God in my frame of reference. How do I keep myself in the love of God? Jude 21 says, I do that by looking for mercy. Where do I find mercy? In Hebrews 4:16, it says that I find mercy at the throne of grace. How do I get to the throne of grace? Romans 5:2 says, I get to the throne of grace by faith. How do I get faith? Romans 10:17 says that I get faith by hearing of the Word of God. There's your process. Receive the Word of God, let it build faith in you that takes you to the throne of grace where you find mercy and it keeps you in the love of God. So this is the process for keeping yourself in the love of God and then keep the Word of God in your frame of reference. Think with Christ's mind. Think with Christ's mind. What intimidates the Savior? Nothing. What scares the Savior? Nothing. What frustrates the Savior? Nothing. What gives the Savior anxiety? Nothing. What is a problem for the Savior? Nothing. Keep Christ's mind as your mind. When you do that, along with keeping yourself in the love of God, then you will have abundant fruit. Then you are a branch that is functioning as a branch, producing the exact fruit that God has determined for that branch. Then your life is experientially reflecting your relationship with Christ. That is very satisfying. That is very edifying. That protects you from all kinds of stuff. When you realize it's not the circumstance is simply a means to produce fruit in me. That is extremely edifying. Fulfilling. That's where superabundant life comes from in John 10:10. What you are is the fruit. It's not the identity. The identity is that you are a branch of the vine. And when they cannot enter that fruit because they have the wrong identity and therefore the wrong source, and they try to enter what they are, instead of experiencing that the way that God prescribed, they try to convince themselves of an identity that doesn't deal with the real issues of the real need. And they see their need as being circumstantial or relationship-based with people, and they look to circumstances or people to fulfill what only God can, and in that they get frustrated within their circumstances or within their relationships. But even if they change those, nothing improves, because those were never actually the problem. Those were never the need. The need that you have is determined by who you are. You are a branch in a vine. So what that branch needs is the life of the vine. In John 15 and verse 6 in the A part, Jesus continues, if anyone does not abide in me, he was thrown out as a branch and was withered. This person no longer functions as a branch, and this person withers. Their fruit withers to where they produce no fruit. We abide in the love of God, and we abide in the Word of God. But abiding in either one of them, the Word of God or the love of God alone without the other, leaves a person unbalanced with an inactive faith in Romans 10:17 and Galatians 5:6b, so they cannot enter into the experience of grace where an active faith would bring them in Romans 5:2. That means they don't find the mercy that keeps them in love. They don't find a government of God in their life because they are out of balance. They have only half of the ingredients, half of the prerequisite for fruit of the Holy Spirit. This then leaves them without fruit, without a source, and without functioning correctly in who they are. This leaves them without fruit or a source. How can I live like that? With no source and no fruit. That means everything is up to me. I have to control my circumstances. I have to control my relationships. I have to be able to see with my natural mind the things of the Spirit of God, and of course that is impossible because the natural man cannot know the things of God. And so this person enters into an impossible situation. In Philippians 3:18, many walk as hostile to the cross of Christ. Now keep in mind that the relationship of the fruit and vine is found at the cross. So you could paraphrase it to say many walk hostile to their place as a branch within the vine. They are hostile toward the vine, of whom I often told you, and now even weeping I say it, whose end is destruction, and this is experiential. Not positional. A born-again believer cannot be positionally destroyed, but their experience can be utterly obliterated. Whose God is their belly, and who glory in their shame, the ones thinking earthly things. These people will enter their emotions, and eventually their emotions become their God. At this point, they will reject God's provisions because they're hostile to the vine. They're hostile to the source of their provisions. They reject what God uses to cause them to grow into fruit. They reject the Romans 5, 3-5 process of producing fruit because they'll reject the trial, the situation that God brings to produce fruit in them. They reject the test of their faith by which their fruit is tested, by which their faith is tested in 1 Peter 1:7. And then, and this is why they become so miserable, I think, in many cases, God has to curse their blessings in Malachi 2:2 because they won't hear. In verse 5 of John 15. They won't hear. If I refuse to hear the word of God, Malachi 2:2 says God will curse my blessings. So the things that God brings into my life to be a blessing, but I don't have that relationship with the vine, God will curse those blessings. They'll no longer be blessings to me, but a curse. So many believers, I don't know how many, but there are plenty. For example, they receive a blessing from God, they receive a family, and yet the family becomes a curse to them. They get married, and where the marriage was supposed to be incredibly fulfilling and an expression of love, because they did not practice the life of the vine, where they would keep themselves in the love of God and the Word of God in their frame of reference within the context of that relationship to be a provision for that relationship, God will curse that relationship. Although it was meant to bless them, but they would not. If you're not growing as a branch into fruit production, then you are dying. A withered branch is a dying branch. If you're not growing, you are dying. And this is difficult for people, of course. Very unedifying. But it is the result that God permits. Because frankly, sin is its own chastisement. So they'll look for natural provisions or natural solutions to serve their emotions. They will look for relationships whereby their emotions are served. They will look for situations where their emotions are served, because their emotions are their God. When you see words like belly or kidneys or bowels in the Bible, it's talking about emotions. Their emotions are their God, and so everything is there to serve their God, their emotions. Yet outside of the vine, all there is in Ephesians 2:1 is dead in sin. So these people don't enjoy their life because their life is withered. You don't have to have a withered life. Sometimes, and this happens all too often, people will hear a message like this that can revolutionize their life with Christ, that can bring tremendous joy into their life if they appropriate it in humility through the Holy Spirit. But they're unwilling. And sometimes they will even acknowledge, yes, this is my solution, but pride keeps them from its implementation. And so they never implement it because they never apply it. They simply acknowledge it. And then 3-4 days later, it's like it was never preached. You don't want to do that. Because the day will come where you will have your life reviewed by God. And the one that will judge you is the word that He speaks, that would bring you into the life of the vine. You could think of it this way about the Bema Seat. The Bema Seat will reveal if I was a living branch with an active relationship with the vine, or whether I was a withered branch with no relationship in practical experience, albeit in position I do have one, but in practical experience, it's non-existent. Again, it's just a choice. Deuteronomy 30:19, it's just a choice. Lamentations 3:24 says, "The Lord is my portion." This is the vine. The Lord is my portion. This is a person who knew how to live as a branch in the vine. Says my soul, "Therefore I will hope in Him. Therefore I will have a confident expectation of Him. Therefore I have a source for my fruit." In Romans 5:3-5. This is the only solution that God offers to my problems, to my situations, my issues. This is the only solution that God offers. God doesn't have a plan B for your life. God only has one plan. He is the vine, you are the branches. Abide in His love and have His word abide in your frame of reference and you will bear much fruit. That is the plan. The Lord is my portion. This is your solution. This is your provision. This is your hope. This is your life. Draw near to God, James tells us, and He will draw near to you. You will have fruit then. In John 15:5, you will have fruit then. In John 1:4, in Him was life. Well, of course, the vine is the source of my life. Why do I live in practical, experiential, dead in sin? Because the vine is the source of my life, and outside of their vine, there is no life. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the life was, this is the relationship of God toward me from faith to faith, that my faith is produced by the Word of God and I apply what I receive from His Word by a faith response, and this is how the just live. This is how they that have a relationship with Him live. This is where fruit becomes expressed. In Ephesians 2:1, He made you alive. He made you alive. Do you get it? He made you alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. In Jeremiah 31:3, He loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness He drew you. And when He drew you to His love and He drew you to His word. He drew you to His love by His love toward who He is. Then you are able to have faith. It is produced in you by that word, so you can enter into grace and you can have a practical Romans 1:17 relationship with Him. And there your fruit not only exists, but has a manifestation, has an expression where it overflows and it becomes a blessing not only to you, but to all those who are around you. You're the branch. Please get this into your frame of reference. Please adopt this as your identity. It is the truth. This is who Jesus says you are. You are the branch. He is the vine. And when your relationship with Him is active, you will get the life of the vine producing the results of the life of the vine, which then you get to enjoy, which then you get to be benefited by, which then you get to express. Amen.
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive You as my Savior. Thank You for loving me so much that You died for me, so I can have eternal life with You. Amen."